Baby, would you wait for me? How am I supposed to take it all? Oh, hey, got one. Lefty and righty. Callaway doesn't discriminate.
Does TaylorMade offer it in lefty?
Mm-hmm.
Does Titleist?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
We just didn't get one.
No one discriminates.
Not using that.
Yeah.
Welcome back to another episode of the Loggerhead Golf Podcast. As you can see on the table, mini driver season continues.
Yep. We finally got our hands on. I know we're a little late to the party here, but the Callaway Elite Minis, the Elite Minis.
Mm-hmm.
First impressions, Kyle.
I like the matte finish.
Yeah.
And honestly, out of all the Callaway releases, not that, I mean, I haven't been super excited. This one's actually pretty cool.
I'll say we've been pretty hard on Callaway this year, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't been too keen on, I mean, really anything that they've put out. The driver's been performing well. Iron's been performing well. But for something new and supposedly different from what they've had in the past. But going into this mini driver, as soon as we pulled it out of the box, the first thing I said is I was like, this might be my favorite looking. It took the throne from Titleist.
Yeah, out of the three so far, because obviously Cobra just announced theirs. This one would be an easy one to put in the bag.
I just can't wait to set up that Cobra with 33 different settings. I mean, it's just going to be elite. I'm just kidding. How big are these mini driver heads?
These are 340 cc's.
Okay, so a little larger. I mean, a lot larger than the Titleist.
Yep.
And then pretty much identical.
Almost the same size as the TaylorMade.
Yeah.
Except this one sits more square. The TaylorMade almost sits a little shut compared mm-hmm. to the Elite.
Any technology we need to know about with the Elite Minis that differs from their main line of drivers?
No, they put the same AI smart face on the mm-hmm. mini driver, which is pretty unique. Same three-piece adjustable back weight position, 13.5 degrees aloft for the model that we've got in front of us, and they also offer an 11.5. They only sent us the 13.5, though.
For fitting. I mean, yeah. Which is understandable. They have a 2-degree sleeve, so we can move it down if we want to move it down, move it up if we want to move it up. I'm happy that they still kept the weight port in the back.
Yep.
I think for as large as this head is, it should be important to change CG just a little bit and, you know, help somebody with ball flight characteristics without having to immediately go to the cog on the adapter. And then, like you said, I personally like when I was hitting it, how square it set up. I'm still going to say that this is essentially a three-wood replacement. I have yet to see in a fitting and or personal use myself as this as a driver replacement. You know, the way I think of this as a way to put a strong three-wood in your bag.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you look back at, like, 2013, 2014, you know, Ping had the Rapture.
Mm-hmm.
TaylorMade had the SLDR Mini Driver. And then Callaway had the, I think it was called the Big Bertha Mini. So you had...
That's right.
You had three, but they were called two-woods back then. So now we've increased head size and now they're mini drivers. So mm-hmm. it's kind of, again, something that didn't quite work. It was a little too far ahead of its time, I guess. Fast forward 10, 12 years later, and now they're back.
Well, also, too, everything's based off of what the tour guys are doing, right? And ultimately, why did Callaway come out with this?
Because everybody was using the burner.
A lot of their tour players are using the burner. I mean, Akshay, they created a prototype for him, which supposedly is
the 2019 same version that was made for Phil or something.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, essentially the tour validation is there's a need for it in the bag with a lot of the guys, so why not offer it for the general market? What players do you think this is going to help?
Like, for here, I mean, a lot of these...
No, the actual people that buy golf clubs.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're playing a tighter golf course and you want to basically a three-wood that has a little bit more ball speed, 8-10 yards longer in carry, this is probably going to be it, especially if you're struggling with slicing a driver, but you hit your three-wood fine.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's still kind of like a driver replacement in the sense of in forms of
for accuracy. Higher handicap players, yeah. I think it is more of a driver replacement in the 11.5 model,
mm-hmm.
just because instead of them hitting that 45.5 inch driver, slicing it 190 yards yeah. into the woods, at least this is going straight yeah. somewhat.
And I like how, I will say, I think the stock length is a little bit shorter than the TaylorMade. I think it's 43 and three quarters.
Yep, 43.75.
Yeah, 43 and three quarters.
So it's a little flatter. It's 57 degrees law angle.
Yeah, so that might make sense why I actually like the look of it, because you could bend all my clubs 10 degrees flat, and I would say it looks awesome.
Well, I think I printed this out from Callaway's website because it kind of cracked me up a little bit. It's a brief description when you're comparing the Elite Mini to the regular Elite. Best four, and this is mini driver, compact power and control. Then the full-size driver is best for total performance. And then this is where it gets funny. Forgiveness level on the mini is higher. Forgiveness level on the main driver, higher. Spin, low. Big driver, low. Launch angle on the mini, mid-high. Launch angle on the big driver, mid-high. So aside from the price...
Same.
Exactly. Aside from the price, the literal description on Callaway.com mm-hmm. is the... same for both products.
Yeah, for their whole like comparing everything head to head. Yeah, I didn't expect this to be groundbreaking in terms of Callaway put a lot of R&D into this. I would say the only company that truly did something different was Titleist, because one, they haven't offered it before. Two, it's 60 cc's smaller. Like it's a completely different golf club.
Yeah.
TaylorMade, let's call it what it is. They copy and paste from the burner and then put R7 on it and then changed a little bit of the materials they made it out of. Callaway, it is different, obviously.
I like the fact that they put the smart face on it, because we've at least seen that has been more forgiving.
Correct. For a lot of players. So that's where it's like, straight out of the box, we've hated on Callaway, and yeah, I can't say anything but good things here. I haven't had a ton of people hit it in fittings since we've gotten it. We've had a few people. I would say definitely the 13.5 has suited them really well. I'll be interested to see kind of what that 11.5 does when we get that head, especially because I think my numbers were technically, I mean, numbers are irrelevant day to day, but my numbers, when we look at it here in a sec, are a little lower compared to the Titleist and compared to the TaylorMade as far as distance. But that being said, I think the consistency of them were actually really good. So what shaft does it come in stock with?
The Denali proprietary charcoal.
Yeah, which is technically a Denali red.
Similar. It's true. I mean, it comes in a 50 or 60. The 50 is available in regular stiff swing weight of D2, and 60 is available only in stiffer X with a D3.
Yeah,
profile is mid.
Mid launch. So
it's kind
of
like a
blue offshoot of the blue.
But proprietary to them.
Which, so when I hit it, I swung the 50 gram regular flex in the shaft, so it felt extremely light compared to the other offerings that we see, because TaylorMade stock shafts is 60 gram. I think Titleist is a 70.
Yeah, 70, yeah. On the, I think it's 71 gram Stinsey 1K Black.
That's right. Anything we need to add more to this before we kind of look? I sent you the numbers, right? Yeah, before we look at the numbers.
Just another skew.
Huh?
Another skew.
Yeah, Callaway loves to have a billion skews. All right, so I did it in a little different format this time. We just kind of did the comparison chart because, honestly, I hit it like five times and it was the same thing. But you could see here, 13-degree launch angle, 158 ball speed, 4,100 spin, 250 carry, 220 total. And this is off the deck. I did not tee up any of these balls. This is off of a mat, off the deck. And it was kind of automatic each time that I was able to hit my standard little cut relatively easy. Just spun a little bit more, and I think more so than anything that's a little bit shaft. That's why The distances are probably a little short in comparison of where that ball speed is for off the deck.
Plenty of stopping power, though, for this style of club, even with the incorrect shaft.
Oh, yeah. I think my landing angle was like 48 degrees, which... again, for me, if I'm going to put this in my bag, it needs to be my 3-wood. I have to be able to have some stopping power if I want to go, if I want to go into a green with the longer club. But also too, I think and we can't express this enough. If you're possibly in the market for wanting to try this, also think of this as a way to tighten up that whether you're playing a three iron, three hybrid, five wood, right? Like if you feel like you're missing a club in that gap, maybe adding a mini driver makes that decision a little bit easier. So you
can expand backwards.
Correct. Cause like, that's kind of where my mind is right now is, you know, it's like, hey, maybe if I can hit this mini driver, kind of get it dialed in to maybe carry off the deck around 265, 270 consistently. Well, then it's like, maybe I can add a five or a seven wood to cover the 240 zone. Cause right now my hybrid is like 230. My three wood's 260. It's just, I'm fanning it right now. It's gross. But that's kind of an example of where I feel like people should look at this club as another way to address the other area of your bag as well and make that a little bit better. But yeah. Pretty straightforward, right?
Yeah. I mean, pretty cut and clean.
Obviously, right? These look good here. If you can't come in to see us when you want to, can't come in to see us and hit it, you can always go on our website. You could build you one. You can buy it. We build it here directly in-house. We ship it to you.
Which means it will be built to spec.
Yep.
Obviously, what have we seen the last 2 weeks with quality control?
No hate. Like, this isn't a bad shaft. It's not a great shaft. So
all we're saying is Ventus Red 7 might be a little secret sauce. Yeah. That's all
Ventus
we're saying.
Ventus Red 7. Or for those of you that struggle with speed, Ventus White can still go in this.
Mm-hmm. Technically.
Technically, because they're using the driver adapter. Same as the TaylorMade, same as the Titleist, which is nice. You cannot put a Ventus White in a fairway. Fairway wood. but plenty of options. Go on our website. You can build you one up. We can get it dialed for you. And then we can get you a great club in your hands. So, anything else you want to add?
No. I wish they would have made this one in Sandstorm.
Okay. We're not going to kill the vibe. We're not. I don't want to be mean about Callaway today. Stop your dumb releases. Stupid. Callaway's like stolen valor. Show and tell time?
The Max Homa Chipotle combo with Cobra accessory pack. So we got a shag bag. That is the brown paper bag from Chipotle. And then we got the burrito wrap head cover.
I think these are flush. I think these look awesome. Chipotle's overrated, though. End my rant there.
I will say, like, the one in Wilmington, there's two that are close by. There's one that I've never, like, if you want burnt meat, that's where you go.
I feel like that's any Chipotle. Yeah. I think it's any Chipotle. No, they don't freeze. They don't have a freezer. So,
But it's a cool idea.
No, I like the shag bag.
Yeah. I think the head cover's pretty cool.
But.
Now we just got to get him to play good on Sunday.
He's doing well. He's doing well.
Except on Sunday.
He's getting better.
Yeah. He's making it to Sunday now.
Yeah.
So that's progress.
Yep. Ooh, Kyle could probably go in about this for a minute.
Tony Finau sits his putter at address pisses me off. Am I the only one?
Does it piss you off, Kyle?
I just don't understand it. Just like he grips, he grips so far down on his grip. Like this picture, he's actually gripped on the top. But number one, he's got his own Tony Finau Foundation Garson grip, and he doesn't even use it. He uses an all black one. And two, even like the techs from Ping, and I'm not going to say who they are, but I have talked to them about this. He's got a putter that's meant flat enough to sit flat on there, and he won't use it. So he kind of does his own thing.
That's what they all do, though.
Yeah.
Do you think this is affecting his putting at all?
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look at his misses. I mean, if you take all the like skill asset out of it and just talk about physics, obviously this is a plumber's neck, so all the CG's already towards the hill, and he's got the toe of the putter in the air. So physics, especially with gear effect, that toe's already going to want to swing. So,
all right, keep going on your rant. I'm trying to look up his putting stats for the year.
Look at the bottom.
Oh my God.
So, but yeah, I don't understand it. I've never have. I mean, I've got text with Ping reps, and it's watching on a Sunday. It's like if he would just stand a little closer, get a little bit more upright, get his eyes. So, yeah, that's always bothered me.
I mean, he's doing well. Data Golf has him as the 33rd in total strokes gain overall. Not that's just overall 33rd in the world, which is really good. I'm trying to see.
So that means there's 32 people putting better than him and finishing in the top 10 and winning.
Yeah. Putting.
I mean, now that the lawsuit's cleared up, maybe he'll play better. You know?
Oh, wow. See, now you're making it personal. No. Looks like he's a really good putter from outside of 30 feet, 5 to 30 feet. He's pretty decent. He is in the red, really bad from 2 to 5 feet.
I wonder why. You mean hooking putts inside of 5 feet's not a good idea?
Yeah. I mean, at the Masters alone, he lost 2.23 strokes on the putting greens. I mean, it's like his bad weeks are really bad, and then everything else is relatively good. So it's like he's right on the verge.
So you're saying is flatten the putter?
I mean, he's always been a streaky putter because his ball striking's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when you go driver wedge and everything.
Well, I mean, he putted with that Nike Coverge counterbalance putter, and he putted great with it, and then obviously took it out of the bag when they made him this.
But. And then he had a Pirelli. No, not Pirelli. Pirelli. Yeah, Pirelli tire. You can tell I watched racing all weekend. Kyle Larson, you are not better than Max Verstappen.
Remember, I'm saying with all due respect.
I will say this is better. Like, he had a point this year where he was standing further from the ball, and that toe was even higher. So, but he's a lot better than I am, so I'm not going to talk about it.
Talk about how Nike makes his shoes custom for him. Like, they don't have the retail bottoms on it.
Like a size 18.
They got the aggressive bottom.
Yeah. I thought that was a clown behind me.
Well, depends on your definition. In context of the statement, yes.
Why are you getting us to read so much dang stuff? Sorry. It's too early for that. Do we read right first or left?
Right first.
Bryson DeChambeau says he needs to find a golf ball that will fly straighter and says it'll be up to manufacturing on whether he can address this need before the U.S. Open. And then I guess this is a quote from him. What I really think needs to happen, being pretty transparent here, is just get a golf ball that flies a little straighter. Everybody talks about how straight the golf ball flies. Well, upwards of 190, like Rory and myself, it's actually quite difficult to control the ball. I'm going to work my butt off to make that happen. It's all up to manufacturing. We'll see what happens, but I'm keen on finding something. I'm keen on improving. I'm excited for that. I'm going to start with a negative. I'm trying to work on positives before negatives here. Positive, I agree. He's always going to try to find better. See where my mind went. That being said, you're full of shit for bringing Rory into this. Rory, like, is dominating the world.
He's one of the most accurate.
In the iron game. Like, his iron game, it wasn't great at Quail, but his iron game has been awesome. Bryson, you are garbage with your irons this year. You're driving it possibly the best we've ever seen somebody drive it in a strokes game perspective. Like, it's stupid how good you're hitting the ball off the tee. Why don't you get rid of your dumb irons, your bulge and roll irons? You played great with your other irons that didn't have it, where you won your majors with. And let's, like, go back to trying to make the ball fly straighter with your irons. Because you hooking seven, like, realistically, I get Scottie Scheffler 1 by 5. If Bryson could just hit a green from 160, he would have ran away with Quail with how he was driving the ball.
Yep.
So is it a golf ball problem or is it your irons problem? I'm going to go on the limb of the irons.
Yeah, well, I mean, the LA Golf ones, the Protos compared to his Avadas, the lofts are even more wonky. Because, like, him saying that he's going to hit a soft 7-iron from 290, like, from a fitting aspect, the stronger you make the lofts, regardless of your swing speed, it's going to affect spin and landing angle. So when he's de-lofting these irons, which I get they're starting with onset and then making it neutral, but when your 7-iron's 25 degrees or 26 degrees,
you're going to deal with the spin loft issue no matter what.
Correct.
At his speed.
Especially without gear effect.
And I get why it's easy to just say, I need a ball that flies straighter, because he is hitting it amazing. We're not discounting that. He's undoubtedly one of the five.
But even at Augusta, every iron shot was a hook.
Just hooking 50 yards. So, right?
I think.
And he hits a draw. His golf swing's built for a draw. When you have kind of that one plane underneath move, that ball, it'd be really hard to hit a cut,
yeah.
A consistent cut, right? So his ball should move, but I feel like we've never seen his ball hook as much with irons as we did in the past. Almost like it was like,
well, even
once he found the fairway, it's automatic. Now he's finding the fairway every time.
Well, last year he played left ash and didn't have a single problem.
And his irons were different.
So that's and I'm a Bryson guy. So.
Oh, I'm a fan of him.
So like that's the frustrating part about this.
I just don't like how he brought Rory into it. Meanwhile, Rory's like ball striking the heck out of it.
Every time he gets a winning formula, he instantly changes. It's kind of like Hideki. Every time he wins with a putter, he pulls it out of the bag.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where Bryson's at right now. He won his major.
If I had access to that many Scotties, I'd probably switch week to week,
but
too.
But Bryson wins U.S. Open and then changes 11 clubs in his bag.
Yeah. But I will say, right, like we're preaching to the choir here. We do know Bryson's a psycho, and he's somewhere working on it right now. And I get probably why he doesn't want to change a lot equipment-wise and wants to keep it pretty simple to a golf ball. Is because he's still hitting at the best he's ever hit it.
Yeah.
Like from a data perspective. It's just hooking those irons.
I will say kudos to him for actually doing something about it versus being a traditional tour player and just complaining and not doing anything about it.
True.
So at least he actually makes the effort. If he wants a change, he actually helps with the change versus just telling
people. And a lot of people look at that and see it bad. It's no different than what he did with Cobra, where he was like, my Cobra driver's garbage. He wasn't saying that Cobra golf is garbage. He was just saying the Cobra driver was garbage for him. But a lot of people took that out of context. He ended up leaving Cobra.
Yeah.
Things like that happen.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I didn't think about
that. I've actually, I'll read this one for you. So Lucas Glover on driver testing. I've been trying to think all day how to say this without sounding like it's going to sound, but most guys don't even give them their real driver anyway. They give them their backup just in case. No, it's true, and the testing is the way it is. Why? And again, I know a lot of the guys keep two drivers in their bag just in case. Hey, oh, yeah, it's this one right here. Yeah, let's test this one. So,
fun. And then other tour players commented on this post and said this is 100% true.
Yeah.
Are they cheating?
Yeah, not yes and no. So the reason... I was very lucky. I got to spend a lot of time on tour trucks, building equipment, shadowing.
Tour truck Kyle.
And I've got to see how this is actually done by the USGA. They have a really cool box. They put it down, then they put the head.
You're saying something the USGA does is cool?
Yeah. This part's actually cool. But it's kind of like a record player needle. It goes up, and then they press a button. It hits the face, and then the harmonics rebound, and that's called CT. That's what's so funny, and I don't care if somebody's watching this and I call them out. That's what makes it so dumb. When in January and February, people go on eBay and buy a TaylorMade tour issue head for $1,000 thinking it's something different, crazy. Now, they have a dot head, which is reinforced. But other than that, the only difference in 95% of tour issue products in retail is they're pulled from the same assembly line, but they get CT tested at the factory. And most of the time, because of this exact instance, because this is nothing new, CT has been...
They've been.
This is like 10+ years of this argument.
This came about because of Tiger.
Yeah, because how far he was hitting it.
Correct.
So most of the time,
when titanium drivers came out, that's when this started.
The tour actually, the CT on tour trucks is slightly slower than the CT off of a retail shelf because those guys don't want to switch drivers all the time because even if your loft is 9.2 face angle here, lie angle there, and you find two exact heads,
it's still different.
And put the exact amount of hot melt, its harmonics can still change.
Yeah.
So you're more likely to get a faster head off of a retail shelf than you are off the tour truck. Yeah. The difference is loft lie is actually on there because just like this club says 13.5, I guarantee if we put on a loft lie machine,
it might be 14.7.
It could be 14.7, 14.2, 13.1.
Yeah.
You just never know.
It'll rarely be lower than what the number is.
We've got two tour issue John Rahm backups in the case, and the 5-wood's not 18, it's 19.2.
Yeah.
But yet it says 5-wood.
I'll say my 3-wood is a 15, but it's 14.6.
So this argument, I think, is interesting because the general public sees CT as it being faster, but realistically, the driver cracks 99% of the time before it even affects ball speed.
That's what
an extreme example.
Let's get back to layman's terms of this, right? Like people ask us all the time, how do I know when my driver's dead? when it dies, right? Right? Like it cracks, it breaks, you could hear it. Like that's why 9 times out of 10, when your stuff is broke, it makes it, you don't notice it off a feel, you notice the sound's different.
Yeah.
Right. But yes, drivers do get faster right before they break. The
faces get thinner. Correct. It's just like a baseball bat when you roll it, you know?
For sure. And obviously, the reason why this is a big conversation is Rory got tested last week, had to put a different driver in play. He did not drive it well at Quail and finished nowhere in the tournament. And then come to find out in his final presser, Scotty Scheffler said that, oh, I got tested and I had to put a new driver in play as well. So wasn't that big of a deal for Scotty? Well,
and Xander had it happen last year because that driver
at the PGA
and took a 2-stroke penalty. But to his defense, that driver head was 4.5 months old.
Yeah. So and then I think they made a big deal and they try to kind of like the Rory fans trying to make an excuse for Rory, and then Scotty's like, nope, I put it back up in and I want to. And I noticed Scotty's was different because the face was like a light, like a, it was because they're still playing the QI. The face was like much,
he uses way bluer. My TP program face instead of the retail face. So, I think it just shows you where golf's at since there's not a lot to talk about. They tried to make some drama and it's starting to backfire.
I agree with Xander though. There is a flaw in the testing system, which that's kind of what Lucas Glover's here. And I'm really grateful for Lucas being one of the few transparent golfers. He's called the tour out on their BS with what's going on between them and Liv. He's essentially said the boys club is alive and well and they're ones making the decision. And then of course he lightens and he brings things like this to light. But Xander even said it too. It's if they're going to test people,
everybody,
you can't hand pick. Like it just makes no sense. Like if just have 4 times a year you do testing and right before the week start, your stuff has to go get tested.
Or just do it every Monday on a major. Make it super simple.
Make it super simple, right? Like, because hand-picking, like, it makes no sense. Because like Xander said, you know, Scotty and Rory had to change their drivers, but 90 other players in the field could have been using illegal equipment.
Yeah.
Under the USGA terms.
Yeah.
It just, and I'm pretty hard on the USGA, right? Don't ban me from playing in qualifier stuff. But they just make things way harder than they need to be.
The game of golf's at the highest point, and then they're, well, let's change the golf ball. Let's change. I mean, so yes.
Well, which we all know the golf ball change isn't going to change anything.
Yeah.
But smoke and mirrors. But no, I thought this was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because the general golf public, which is 90% of the viewers, doesn't know things like this happen.
Well, and two, when you get all your information from YouTube or Instagram, it seems like a big deal, but this has been a thing for 10 plus years. And with how CT scoring works, it's not like they're getting a humongous distance advantage to begin with. Most of the time, it's less than 2 miles an hour ball speed.
Yeah. But to Lucas Glover's point, do you blame players for just having their backup tested instead of their actual gamer?
No.
Yeah, because it's a dumb system.
Yeah.
Treat stupidity with stupidity. I know that's not the right way to do things, but we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
But anything else we need to add?
Nope, that's pretty much it. Not a lot going on in golf. I mean, well, maybe next week we'll hit on the FedEx Cup change.
Well, we got Memorial this week, so, you know, milkshakes. They're going to talk about milkshakes a lot.
Yep, Puma released the milkshake shoe for this week.
Rory skipping the tournament.
Yep.
But
Will Zalatoris had another back surgery. Yikes. Imagine that.
Yeah, that poor guy.
He was told not to do it. He did it. Now he has to have another one, or had another one.
Poor guy. Appreciate you guys watching.
Yeah.
Go to our website, already? Buy a club.
Yep.
Or two.
You may even see it on Instagram or YouTube.
Yep.
Yep. But if you haven't already, like and subscribe, turn on push bell notifications, and we'll catch you on the next episode.